The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall read to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off with a little knowledge and facts. 5 traits you didn't know you inherit from mom and 4 you inherit from dad. And here's why men can't blame their mothers for their receding hairline anymore. Well, darn, I can't blame my mom anymore. Genetic inheritance. Do you have your mom's button nose? Did your dad pass on the curse of sneezing in bright sunlight? And where did your baby's red curly hair come from when there hasn't been a redhead in your family for generations? These questions may sound simple, but the answer get complicated fast. Why? Because the science of genetic inheritance is complicated, says Don Adlin, licensed genetic counselor and the director of the Genetic Counseling Graduate Program at The Ohio State University, Wexner Medical Center. It's nearly impossible to tease out exactly where each of your traits came from, she explains. Most traits are influenced by many different genes, and you inherit some from each parent. Plus, their influence your environment plays. Just because you have a gene for a certain trait doesn't always mean you'll end up with it, she adds. Still, it's fun to ask those questions, and while there aren't many detailed answers, there are a few basic genetics that can tell you about your traits you inherit from your mom and those you got from your dad, Elaine says. But first, you need to know how inheritance works. There are 3 main ways you can inherit traits from your parents, she explains. First is through a dominant gene. If you inherit a dominant gene, you will develop that trait. Take eye color, for example. If either of your parents have brown eyes, you likely will have brown eyes, as this is a dominant trait. Second is through a recessive gene. Both parents have to have the recessive gene for you to have that trait. For instance, if you have blue eyes, then both of your parents must carry a gene for blue eyes, even if their eye color isn't blue. Lastly, there are X-linked traits, which are found only on X chromosomes and are passed through the mother. Your ability to lose weight. There are 2 types of fat in your body. Good brown fat, which increases your metabolism and helps you maintain a healthy weight, and bad white fat, which I have too much of, which can cause obesity and disease if you have too much of it. Everyone has some of each type, but how much brown fat you have, and therefore how high your metabolism is, may be inherited from your mom, according to a study published in Nature Communications. How easily you gain weight. However, my mom may be helping you out with the brown fat. You can blame your dad for your white fat. The Nature Communications study found how much fat you store, particularly around your organs, may partly be determined by genes passed down from your father, the researcher said. Genetics aren't destiny when it comes to your weight. Your lifestyle choices play an even bigger part. Your ability to focus. If your mother has lower levels of serotonin, a brain chemical linked to mood, then you're more likely to develop attention deficit hyperactivity disorder later in life, according to a study published in the JAMA Psychiatry. The genes passed down from mom to kid that impart serotonin production also seem to influence your ability to focus. If you hit puberty early, puberty and all the fun milestones that come along with it, like acne, cracking voices, or getting your period while wearing white shorts, is a rite of passage many children go through on their way to becoming an adult. Both parents' genetics play part in exactly when you start the big change, but if you started puberty early, before age 8 in girls and 9 in boys, that may be due to a gene you inherit from your father, according to a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Specifically, they identified that a genetic mutation leads to the type of premature puberty, meaning if you have it, you'll have to deal with all that stuff before any of your friends. Your laugh lines. How well you age and how much you show it is determined on a cellular level by the accumulation of damage over your lifetime. Your mitochondrial DNA gives genes you only get from your mom. Environmental factors like sun exposure, smoking, and an unhealthy diet can cause mtDNA damage, but some of the damage can be inherited from your mother, according to a study published in Nature. The more mtDNA with mutations you inherit from your mother, the faster you age, and the more it will show up traits like wrinkles and gray hair. Your mood. Mothers can influence your mood in many ways, and it's not just by grounding you or serving broccoli 3 times a week. Or Brussels sprouts. The structure of the part of the brain known as the cortocolumbic system which controls emotional regulation and plays a role in mood disorders like depression, is more likely to be passed down from mothers to daughters than from mothers to sons or from fathers to children of either gender, according to a study published in the Journal of Neuroscience. This may mean that daughters at least partly inherit their mood from their mothers. The genders of your children. Obviously, genes from you and your spouse determine the gender of your children. But did you know which gender genes you pass on may be inherited from your father? This is how it works. A man with many brothers is more likely to have sons, while a man with many sisters is more likely to have daughters, according to a study published in Evolutionary Biology. Your memory. It's been known for some time that family history of Alzheimer's disease significantly increases the risk for developing the illness. But a new study, published in Biological Psychiatry, found that the genetic risk primarily comes from your mother. Alzheimer's disease is the most common cause of dementia later in life, affecting nearly 6 million people in America alone. So it's important to know what factors increase your risk, including your mother's medical history. So you can start taking steps to protect your brain health now, the researchers noted. Your fertility. A woman's fertility may be impacted by a gene she inherited from her father, according to a study published in Science. In a normal egg cell, a part of the cell called the centrioles is eliminated as part of the natural development process. However, if the centrioles aren't eliminated due to a genetic dysfunction passed on by her dad, then the woman is sterile, researchers explained. Your hairline. You may have heard that how when a man loses his hair is due to an inherited trait from his mom's side. However, a study published in PLOS Genetics of over 55,000 men has proved this to be a myth. Researchers found that 287 independent genetic signals that were linked to male pattern hair loss, and while 40 were only found in the X chromosome, meaning they were inherited on the maternal side, the rest were scattered throughout DNA inherited from both patterns. Interesting, some genes associated with hair loss also seem to be associated with an increased risk of heart disease in men. While some traits are inheritance, others are learned. Now for the healthy section of the Reader's Digest. Stretch yourself. Keeping yourself limber is good for everybody, especially as you age. Brady Peterson, 75, a retired university professor in Belton, Texas, had always been a physically active, working out in a home gym and walking 6 to 10 miles a day. Then about 4 years ago, after experiencing gradually increasing stiffness and pain in his extremities, he was diagnosed with polymyalgia rheumatica, an inflammatory disease that could affect every part of the body. I couldn't even raise my arms above my head without it hurting. Even just moving my body in bed, trying to sleep became difficult and painful, he recalls. Peterson's rheumatologist wanted to prescribe the steroid prednisone and informed his patient that he needed to take the drug long term. But Peterson knew that prednisone could have significant unpleasant side effects that he hoped to avoid. I asked my rheumatologist if I could work on an alternative approach before beginning the prednisone treatment, he says. The doctor agreed and scheduled a follow-up appointment for 6 months later. In the meantime, Peterson started meditating and eating better. He also started stretching. I focused on stretching as the fulcrum of my approach, he says. I rolled out my yoga mat and did the poses I learned from videos. Then when he started, he found he couldn't do a warrior pose without pain, couldn't come close to doing an acceptable triangle pose, he says. But in doing whatever I could, I began stretching every muscle or group I could think of. His effort pose paid off. I don't remember if there was a breakthrough point, but I did get better, he says. I worked consistently and gradually, and I became more flexible. When he returned to his rheumatologist 6 months later, the doctor agreed he no longer needed the prednisone. Peterson now cycles the hikes and included strength training with heavy clubs and kettlebells as part of his regular physical activity. But the stretching is essential for everything else to work, he says. I know when I stretch the muscles in my body on a regular basis, things like just getting up out of my chair or tying my shoes become movements I don't have to think about. I just do them. And even now, if I forget to stretch, I can feel the old stiffness whisper in my ear. Stretching can stave off many of the mobility-related problems that are often viewed as inevitable as we age. Stretching, though, is often ignored part of triad of exercise. That also includes aerobics, cardio, and strength training. Besides helping to maintain range of motion, Stretching can be helpful in preventing injuries, managing muscle soreness, and allowing for participation in a variety of exercises and physical activities, says Brian Glatt, a personal trainer and brain health coach for the Pacific Neuroscience Institute in Santa Monica, California. However, loss of flexibility caused by injuries early in life, scar tissue, arthritis, or inflammation may be difficult to restore or prevent. Likewise, the cartilage and joints can wear down with use and time, which can also contribute to pain, stiffness, and discomfort. But no matter how old someone is or where they fall on the sliding scale of mobility, stretching can help improve flexibility. Peterson is the perfect example of why regular stretching should be part of everyone's fitness routine, along with cardio and strength training. Stretching doesn't just offer short-term comfort and relief, it can lead to long-term lifestyle benefits. If you're just starting a stretching plan, be sure to target all your major muscles and joints. A good way to loosen up each day is with a good morning stretch. The routine below is provided by personal trainer Brett Durney, co-founder of Fitness Lab, which operates a boutique personal training gym in London. The morning stretch. Performing this stretch first thing in the morning helps wake up your back. Number one, sit upright on your bed, feet flat on the floor and knees and hips bent at a 90-degree angle. Roll your shoulders back and forth and look straight ahead, focusing on your posture. Place your left hand on the bed behind and to the outside of your left hip. Place your right hand on your right knee. Take a deep breath in, lifting and expanding your chest and creating space along your spine. As you exhale, rotate your shoulders to the left and look behind you, twisting your spine while keeping your hips steady. Number four, hold a position for 5 seconds. Release and return to center before repeating the movement to the right. Perform a total of 5 twists to each side. Whole body cryotherapy. Doctors have known the power of cold for years. Think about icing an injury to reduce inflammation. Whole body cryotherapy uses liquid nitrogen to drastically lower body temperatures. Proponents claim the cold boosts metabolism and circulation, speeding up weight loss, easing depression and anxiety, alleviating arthritis and muscle aches, and much more. Unfortunately, there's not much data to confirm the purported benefits. But I was curious, so I showed up at a wellness spa one morning to try it. For 3 minutes, I stood inside a slowly rotating tank, submerged up my shoulder in liquid nitrogen gas. Surprisingly, it wasn't until about the halfway point that I really started to feel cold, and the remaining minute and a half were more tolerable than I expected. Afterward, I noticed that my energy level and mood were sky high. The muscle aches I often feel in my legs were practically gone, with the positive effects lasted about 24 hours. Cryotherapy costs $50 to $100 per session, and most people go 2 or 3 times a week for best results. It's very important for anyone who wants to try it to consult their doctor first. As for me, in spite of the lack of scientific evidence that works, I know for sure I'll be back for more. Amanda Tarleton. Is dry January good for you? Right for you. Last year, an estimated 1 in 7 Americans participated in dry January, a challenge to abstain from alcohol for a month. I should have read this at the end of December. The idea is to detox from holiday excess and start the new year on a healthier note. The annual 31-day exercise began as a public health campaign in the United Kingdom about 8 years ago and has been growing ever since. Dry January is a great strategy for improving your relationship with alcohol, says Keith Hinserling, MD, internist and addiction medicine specialist at the Pacific Neuroscience Institute in Santa Monica, California. Doing a trial quit for a short period, kind of a tongue twister, of time is easier for many people than going straight to total abstinence, he says. Taking time away from drinking, even just for a few weeks, gives you a fresh perspective and the opportunity to break back habits you may have with alcohol. It doesn't take long to start to see positive changes, according to Dr. Hinserling. Within just a few days of not drinking, your blood pressure and heart rate will be lower, and you'll have improved blood sugar regulation, better sleep, and less anxiety and depression, he says. Another bonus, quitting alcohol often makes other good habits, exercise and healthy eating, for example, easier to start and maintain, which in turn leads to even more health benefits. For those who are concerned they might not be able a month of not drinking, Dr. Hinserling says crucial sign is how you feel when you wake up in the morning. People wake up with withdrawal symptoms, irritability, sweating, tremors, and a strong need for a drink, Should not do dry January or any detox program without medical supervision, he says. For everyone, social drinkers and possible problem drinkers, one key to a positive dry January is to see it not as a month of gritting your teeth and getting through it until you could drink again, but rather the start of a healthier lifestyle overall. What better way to start the new year? News from the world of medicine. Jumpstart your fitness. As a form of exercise that doesn't require leaving home, jumping rope has been enjoying a surge in popularity among adults as the pandemic lockdowns began. Research has shown that jumping rope strengthens your entire body by simultaneously working muscles in the legs, arms, and abdomen. It also boosts cardiovascular fitness, which protects the heart, improves coordination and balance, which helps to prevent falls, and increases bone density, which wards off osteoporosis. Just remember that landing puts a lot of force on your legs, so if you give it a try, build up gradually from shorter to longer sessions, and wear well-cushioned shoes to avoid injury. Be careful how you quit smoking. Even though medical experts prefer nicotine patches or other medications for quitting smoking, electronic cigarettes have helped some people. If you offer this strategy, keep in mind that simultaneously using traditional cigarettes along with e-cigarettes raises the risk of respiratory problems. During a year-long study, participants who sometimes smoked tobacco and sometimes vaped had a higher likelihood of developing breathing issues compared to people who only vaped or only smoked. The researchers recommend that would-be quitters switch completely to vaping, with the goal of stopping that habit as well. Even though e-cigarettes may be less harmful than regular cigarettes, they still raise your risk of serious health problems, including heart attacks and lung damage. The benefit of emotional support animals. For many people, owning a dog or a cat can significantly alleviate depression, anxiety, and loneliness, according to research into the benefits of emotional support animals. Although these animals aren't trained to do anything that regular pets don't do, they hold special therapeutic significance for people who struggle with their psychological health. An Ohio-based study, patients who adopted a dog or cat from a shelter reported faring better on average 12 months later. Depending on what the laws are where you live, you might be able to get your mental care health care provider to certify your companion as an emotional support animal. This certification could entitle you to privileges such as access to airplane cabins and pet-free apartments. A proven hiccup cure. Your own personal trick to stop hiccups might work well enough, but why not try one in a proven study? Hickaway, that's spelled H-I-C-C-A-W-A-Y, a rigid L-shaped straw with a pressure valve at the bottom end, requires you to sip with far more force than you use with a regular straw. That act, in turn, distracts two of the nerves that play a role in hiccups and engages the diaphragm and the epiglottis, which can help stop the spasms. The scientists who developed this special straw, which is available to buy online and tried out on 249 volunteers, and it stopped their hiccups nearly 92% of the time. Overcaffeinating could raise glaucoma risk. If you have a family history of glaucoma, a leading cause of vision loss, then you may want to go easy on caffeine, suggests a study published in the Ophthalmology. Among subjects with a strong genetic risk for glaucoma, a habit of drinking more than 3 cups of coffee per day or the equivalent amount of caffeine from other sources such as tea or energy drinks raised the likelihood of developing the eye disease. The explanation probably lies with the fact that the caffeine drinkers also tended to have higher eye pressure, which could lead to glaucoma by damaging the optic nerves. How about us lightening up a little bit with all in a day's work? And there's two gentlemen sitting in an office, and then one's in a suit and the other's in a shirt and tie. And the gentleman in the suit says, "I'm going to forego all the gobbledygook and go straight to the rigmarole." A Pennsylvania prosecutor was demoted earlier this year for moonlighting for a food delivery service when he should have been in the office. The Week asked its readers to title a TV show based on this scenario. You may soon watch Law & Order In, A Few Good Menus, Food Court, 12 Hungry Men, Crime and Nourishment, The Meals of Justice, KSI KFC, The French Fry Connection. When I was 25, I made a PDF assigning each employee of the Muppet to the Muppet pet they reminded me of the most. I meant to send it to my work friend, but accidentally sent it to the entire company. My supervisor, Beaker, wanted to fire me, but the owners, Bert and Ernie, intervened. I showed my third-grade music class a short film about composer George Frederick Handel. Afterward, a student asked if it really was Handel or an actor playing Handel. "Well, Alex," I said, "Handel lived way back in the 1700s. Does that give you a hint?" "Ah," said Alex, realizing his mistake. "It couldn't have been him. If it were really Handel from that long ago, the film would have been in black and white." Boy, does that make you feel old. My brother-in-law, newly minted volunteer firefighter, was riding in the fire engine for the first time when he felt the need to offer the driver some advice. "I think you should pull over," he said. "Don't you hear the siren?" More experienced colleague patiently explained, "That's us." A few days after my 17-year-old nephew started his first job, I asked how it was going. His reply was very relatable. "Well," he said, "it sure does take up a lot of time." Today, a first grader told me that she doesn't need to learn what I'm teaching because she wants to be a pineapple when she grows up. A rough day on the job. Louis Angelino is a professional cleaner. A new client texted him the address and said that the key was under the mat. Angelino arrived, found the key, and got to work. After 3 hours of mopping and scrubbing, he was done. Just then, his client called and asked where he was. "I'm in your living room playing with your cat," said Angelino. "Lois," said the client, "I don't have cats." And that's how Angelino learned that he'd broken into a stranger's home and cleaned it for free. As Scottish police officer drove around Glasgow during her night shift, she noticed a bright light in the sky, likely a drone, following her. She tried evasive maneuvers, but it kept tracking her. Unnerved, she returned to the station where a senior officer explained that the drone was actually the planet Jupiter. The people of Plover, Wisconsin, wanted the name of their village writ large on the local water tower, so crews began painting. When they finished, travelers from near and old and from near and far could now see that they were entering the picturesque village of Plover, Plover. The locals commemorated the gaffe with a T-shirt that proclaims, "Love, Lvoe, Plover, Plvoer." So obviously that was a mistake that was rectified. Now an article of national interest. Fighter jets that don't work as advertised, subsidies for costly cultural events. Do you know how the federal government is spending your tax dollars? What a waste. Here's an experiment. Which of the following are examples of government waste? Despite fossil fuel companies seeing healthy profits as they produce an estimated 6 billion tons of carbon dioxide emissions in the coming decades, the United States provides them with at least $15 billion a year of subsidies. Researchers at Brown University used funds from a federal grant worth nearly $1.6 million to put lizards on treadmills to study the reptiles' gaits. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service paid $1.5 million grant to a private marina on the swanky Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, to help it accommodate yachts longer than 26 feet. The grant was funded by ordinary anglers paying a tax on tackle and motorboat fuel. Chances are, reading at least one of these items made your blood boil. But the chances are also pretty good that at least one of them made you say, "Actually, that sounds reasonable." And any expenditure that you consider wasteful are considered money well spent by some of your fellow citizens. The government should support research on animals. 26 feet is hardly a yacht. Ask any sailor. After all, says Jonathan Rauch, a senior fellow with the Brookings Institution, one man's pork is another man's bacon. That's good. There's no category called wasteful spending, Rauch says. All of these dollars are going to specific constituencies who will all tell you that they are vital to the future of the country. But with a predicted $3 trillion deficit for the 2021 federal budget, somewhat inflated because of the pandemic, the perennial American conversation about how taxpayer money should be spent has taken on a new urgency. The word wasteful is being bandied about with abandon. Usually it simply means spending I don't like because of my politics. Before we start slashing programs, it's important to note that when we talk about Congress passing a budget, we're referring only to approximately 30% of the money that is spent each year. That portion which Congress appropriates is called the discretionary budget. The remaining 70%, the mandatory budget, consists mainly of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and interest payments on the national debt, all of which get paid out on autopilot, as it were. The wasteful spending examples we looked at so far, and will examine below, fall within the discretionary budget. Whether or not you loathe food stamps, everybody should fend for themselves, or defense, how many military bases do we need? The fact is that by messy Democratic consensus, we do have a social safety net, we do have a military, and they're both costing taxpayers dearly. so we should make sure they're being run efficiently. Hey, big spender! The Defense Department budget is massive, weighing it at more than $715 billion. That doesn't include funds for Veterans Affairs. As one might imagine, with that much money floating around, it can, and does, become politicized. Finalized budget, says Maya McGinnis, president of the Nonpartisan Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, are the results of political virtues signaling and one-upmanship on the part of Congress. You want to spend $500 billion? Well, I want to spend $700 billion. They don't actually know where that additional $200 billion needs to go. They just want to outspend somebody else. That's how we end up with such pricey controversies as the F-35 Lightning fighter jet. The F-35 was conceived as a solid all-arounder customized for the special needs of the Air Force, Marines, and Navy. But now, about $1.7 trillion later, leadership likens it to a delicate Ferrari that you take out only on Sunday drives. Despite its flashy name, critics point out that the Lightning fighter hasn't done well in actual lightning, thanks to a chronic failure of the systems that prevent the fuel tanks from exploding when sparked by electricity. The military found a total of 13 major problems with the jets, including control issues at angles of attack exceeding 20 degrees, and numerous troubles with the plane's informational systems. Such grand programs to develop weapons of war are notoriously prone to failure. The M2 Bradley fighting vehicle, designed to protect troops making their way onto the battlefield, made its debut in 1981. But its aluminum armor soon proved insufficient. The effort to build a replacement for the track vehicles has gone on for nearly two decades now, at a cost of $24 billion, and undergoing three scrapped iterations. It is today empty-handed. The problem seems to be that the Pentagon can help loading up its design proposals with requirements, many of them pie in the sky. For example, the Army wants both effective armor, which is heavy, and a nimble, lightweight vehicle. In 2020, the Pentagon announced that it would give yet a fourth try to replace the Bradley. But as NBCNews.com put it, there are few signs that whatever doomed the earlier rounds has been overcome now. Reliance on unproven technologies is what has cursed the USS Gerald R. Ford. After being in service for 3 years, the $13 billion aircraft carrier still has trouble performing its primary function, launching planes. The culprit is a complicated takeoff and landing system. We had 23 new technologies on that ship, which increased cost right from the get-go, Admiral Michael Gilday, Chief of Naval Operations, said in a Navy League over this past July. We really shouldn't introduce more than maybe one or two new technologies on any complex platform like that to make sure that we keep risk at a manageable level. Of course, it's not just large-scale items. People who remember the 1980s may recall the Pentagon's notorious $640 toilet seat. In 2019, a new procurement scandal arose, this time for 3D-printed toilet seat covers that cost $10,000. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel William Astor, retired, does not view these issues as one-off failures. Instead, he says it shows you the faults in the system. What faults? Faults such as strategic placement of manufacturing facilities throughout congressional districts to ensure that programs don't get canceled, even when they're failing, or the revolving door between military brass and private contractors that make our weapon systems, excuse me, got to turn a page here and it's not turning very well, a 2018 report by the Project on Government Oversight found that in a single year, at least 380 high-ranking defense officials and military officers took positions with defense contractors, often as lobbyists or executives. One simple way to save billions would be to shut down superfluous military bases and depots. In 2017, the Army estimated that 33% of its infrastructure was unnecessary. The Air Force offered a similar figure. Great. The branches are volunteering an effective cost-cutting measure. Make surely that's a slam dunk. But no. This requires an act of Congress, and the legislature has blocked every attempt at cloning bases since 2005. Why? As retired Army General Thomas M. Spohr, director of the Center for National Defense at the Heritage Foundation, explains, every base in somebody's district or state, and there's voters in those places, and also those people need jobs. Lend me your ear, Mark. Do you remember the Bridge to Nowhere from the early 2000s? It was a proposed span that would connect Alaska town of Ketchikan with a nearby island of 50 people. The proposed price tag, almost $450 million, was so egregious that even Congress balked. Thanks to such pork barrel scandals, people often think earmarks when discussion of waste comes up. Earmarking happens when members of Congress direct federal funds to special products within their home districts, funds that would normally have been allocated through the agencies of the executive branch. An unofficial moratorium on earmarking has been in place since 2011, but Congress is considering reintroducing the practice, albeit with stringent controls in place to discourage corruption. Proponents of earmarks say that they free up political gridlock because they're used as bargaining chips when trying to get legislation through Congress. Opponents say they're nothing but legalized bribery. Here are some examples. What do you think? The High-Intensity Drug Trafficking Areas Program was established in 1988 to help fund enforcement efforts in the United States. The Obama administration sought to reduce its funding, but in 2020, Congress earmarked $290 million for the program, with most of it going to states far away from any national border, including Iowa, Tennessee, and Wisconsin. In 2020, the Trump administration identified the National Domestic Preparedness Consortium, NDPC, as a program that should be eliminated, since its work was already being performed by FEMA. And yet, in fiscal year 2021, Congress earmarked $101 million for the program, bringing the total amount to NDPC earmarked funds to $885 million since 2005. National Capital Arts and Cultural Affairs is a grant program for cultural institutions in Washington, D.C. In 2008-19, Congress set aside $450,730.26 for the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, $112,151.92 for the Phillips Collection, and $106,756.91 for Ford's Theater. All are excellent institutions, but did they truly need taxpayer money? After all, the Kennedy Center sold more than 1.5 million tickets that year, and if it charged an additional 30 cents per ticket, it could have foregone NCACA funding altogether. More than 125,000 visitors traipsed through the Phillips Collection art exhibits in 2019. Another 90 cents per admission would have covered the NACA grant. For Ford's Theater, a measly 17 cents for added to each ticket would have done it. While you might find earmarks ethically suspect, even wasteful, they account for only 1% of discretionary spending. If you're looking to save real dollars, it's an odd hill to die on. Focusing on earmarks is just noodling around with tiny deals when huge things are going on that people are ignoring, says Meyer McGinnis of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Social Security is going to become insolvent, and we're fighting about earmarks? Did we already pay for that? Given the sheer size of the government, overlap and duplication efforts are inevitable. So the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, tracks the problem. This year it pointed out 112 new actions that Congress or various agencies could take that would save billions. For example, GAO reports that 550 facilities that house hazardous chemicals are subject to the handling restriction of two or more of the nine federal programs that address chemical safety. That means facilities need to fill out documents with the same information over and over and over again for the various programs that oversee their handling of the chemicals. Wasted hours of labor that equate to wasted money. This year's report also includes an estimate that Departments of Agriculture, Defense, Health and Human Services, Justice, State and Veterans Affairs could potentially save hundreds of million dollars each year through better coordination in their way they contract for information technology services. As it is now, the agencies are pairing contractors to do work that's already being paid for by other agencies. Half of the agencies the GAO reviewed for its report had not taken the necessary steps to share IT contracting information. In a less recent but high-profile example, the GAO issued a special report in 2013 looking at federal programs designed to encourage education in the STEM subjects, science, technology, engineering, and math. It found that $3.1 billion was being thrown at the problem, although 13 federal agencies via more than 200 programs, and that despite onslaught of money and effort over a decade, the United States had not improved its standing internationally when it came to STEM. In Washington, says Thomas Schatz, president of the watchdog group Citizens Against Government Waste, if something doesn't work, they just spend more money on a new program and never get rid of the program that doesn't work. I am forever in your debt. A common concern about government waste is that the United States spends and borrows far too much, and will soon face an ugly reckoning. Its national debt is now higher than its gross domestic product, GDP, something that has not occurred since World War II. Classic economic theory holds that when debt reaches 90% of a country's GDP, it becomes unsustainable. and the economy will collapse. We're above 100%. So is such a day of reckoning imminent for the United States? Probably not, says economist Robert Shapiro, who served in the Clinton administration. As he explains, the United States currently enjoys several unique advantages and made exception to the 90% rule. First, thanks to globalization, we have access to unprecedented pools of capital throughout the world, meaning we can keep borrowing. Second, we have a stellar credit record. Lenders know the United States always pays its debts, which keeps interest payments low. Where, then, is the tipping point, beyond which our debt level becomes unsustainable? No one knows. But says Maya McGinnis, I like it to the invisible fence. You have no idea where it is, but you don't want to find out. So where are my taxes going? Mandatory spending covers things that the government pays automatically and includes Medicare, federal pensions, and Social Security. In 2020, it also included monies for individuals and businesses affected by the pandemic. Discretionary spending covers everything else and is part of the budget Congress battles over. And there's a couple of pie charts here. The first one shows the federal budget, mandatory versus discretionary. The net interest is $0.3 trillion. Discretionary spending is $1.6 trillion, and mandatory is $4.6 trillion. And what's in the discretionary budget? Defense is $714 billion, and non-defense items are $914 billion, which include education, transportation, agriculture, veterans affairs, community and regional development, social services, Justice Department, State Department, etc. Budget points to ponder. The above military budget does not include billions for military interventions in Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. Also not included, the National Nuclear Security Administration, Homeland Security, and the Department of Veterans Affairs. In response to the COVID-19 pandemic over the past 2 years, Congress has appropriated $4.7 trillion in emergency assistance to individuals, businesses, the healthcare system, and state and local governments. It isn't just spending that puts budget in the red. The Joint Committee on Taxation and the Congressional Budget Office estimated that tax cuts passed in 2017 would add up to $1.9 trillion in the federal budget deficit. And with that depressing article over with for the Reader's Digest, let's go to the Consumer Report for something a little more positive. Top picks in tech. If you're relying on technology for more of your daily tasks and entertainment than ever before, you're not alone, and many of us are, and you're in luck. Our tech team's top picks showcase the latest, most reliable, easiest-to-use electronics for all your tasks. And winning combo for simple security. To secure your home, invest in a wireless camera to watch for intruders, a video doorbell to support porch pirates, and a DIY-yourself security system to guard entrances. These are some of our favorites across the categories. For the easiest user experience, choose which of the three you want most, then add other products with the same brand. For security camera, they like Arlo Essential Wireless Security Camera for $130. For video doorbell, wired, Google Nest, wired at $230. For a Ring Alarm Security Kit, it's a second generation. It's the kit. It's the OENO 4K19SZ for $300. And that's kind of a complicated looking thing. We love great gadgets. The most versatile laptop is the Apple MacBook Air, 13-inch 2020 M1 for $1,000. This Apple laptop ticks every box in our wish list. It's light, 2.8 pounds, and powerful, and it needs a battery that lasts so long, almost 13 hours in our labs, that you might even forget it's not plugged into the wall. The display is brighter than most with an anti-reflective surface, a plus for viewing in a well-lit room or outside. And I Own This by Daniel Wokolowski, multimedia content creator of Home and Appliances. The Google Nest protects smoke carbon dioxide detector for $110. I fitted my home with several Nest products, all of which I control from the Nest smartphone app, so I get an alert whenever my alarm goes off. An added bonus, I can hush the alarms from the Nest app, which has saved me more than a few times when I produce a little more smoke than intended while cooking. What's new and cool? A fast, reliable home Wi-Fi network is a must for many people, and this mesh router delivers for a reasonable price, too. With three beacons you place around your home to evenly distribute Wi-Fi signals, it helps eliminate dead zones. It's the TP-Link Deco-Whole Home routers for $170. How about iMore Commo Fuzz Pro earbuds for $710? What noise-canceling headphones for less? The One More Comfo Buds Pro True wireless earbuds are impressive for both the audio quality and the sound blocking, and cost about half what you pay for competing products, including the AirPods Pro. Smart thermostat, Google Nest Learning Thermostat at $250. Smart thermostats can touch your utility bills by automatically heating and cooling, and this Google Nest model is no exception. It's one of the best we've tested, testing it's your household routine, so it can adjust energy output to your actual needs, and I have a friend who has that, and they really like it. The worst list, smart thermostat, radio thermostat, CT50 at $65, video doorbell, NetView Bell II at $110, 12-13-inch laptop, Hyundai HiFlip 13 at $240, and the Meshrito Ubiquity Networks Amplify 3-pack for $350. Smartest smartphone, the Apple iPhone 12 Pro Max for $1,100. This is the iPhone to pick up if you don't want to compromise. The screen is big, bright, and super sharp, and the photos that are three rear-facing camera turned out are keepsake worthy. Great battery life, 41 hours, rounds out the package. The best buy is the OnePlus 8 Pro phone at $700. The best Android phone is the Samsung Galaxy Note 20 Ultra G at $1,200. Picture-perfect TV, LG OLED 65 at $1,800. This 65-inch set in LG's latest expensive 4K OLED series delivers top-notch picture quality and effective HDR performance, which can produce vibrant, colorful images when done well. It also produces great sound. Best 70-inch for the money? TCL 75R 635 at $1,600. And 46-52-inch TV with great sound is LG 50UP 800 at $500. And outdoor living and yard care. We'll need that for a little while, but why not have the info now? Easier upkeep and more enjoyable outside hangout time. What's not to like about those goals? Great lawn care, grilling, and entertaining gear our pros have selected here will help you make the most of every aspect of your outdoor experience. Yard work helpers, a winning combo. Keeping your property looking neat and tidy isn't always simple, but using this one-stop shopping lineup of tools is. That's because Eco Lawn Tools use an interchangeable 56-volt battery that powers its entire collection of outdoor power tools, including the Stellar Chainsaw, String Trimmer, and Leaf Blower shown here. The chainsaw, the Eco CS1804, costs $350. The String Trimmer, $170. And the Leaf Blower costs $200. The worst list. Oh, let's go run through the rest first. What's new and cool? Wiretooth Bluetooth speaker. The JBL Boombox 2. A reimagining of the classic boomboxes, although it's much more stylish. This JBL wireless speaker retains all the fun, volume galore, and loads of bass, and adds a rechargeable battery and Bluetooth connectivity. And it's really quite striking looking. It's black with a big handle that runs all the things. Very modern looking. How about a generator? The Ryobi RY14022X at $550. This capable mid-sized model costs far less than the competition. It offers a high output and clean, reliable power. It's designed to produce less carbon monoxide, and it features an essential shut-off safety valve. Smart Sprinkler Controller, the Orbit BHVE for $110. Smart sprinkler controllers like this top-rated Orbit model make it essential to get a green lawn and save water. How? They use rainfall data to make sure they never overwater. Interesting. And what's the worst list? The wireless speaker is the Billboard BB2470 at $30. The battery push mower is the Sunjo at $190. And battery string trimmer is the Black & Decker, which unfortunately I used to own one of those, at $80. We love top-notch tools. Top Pick Exterior Paint. Behr Marquee Exterior Paint for $51 a gallon. Our accelerated exterior paint weathering tests stimulate the effects of sun, rain, wind, and snow on vertical wall. But Behr Marquee still look great after the equivalent of 9 years exposure. Long-lasting solid wood stain. Behr Premium Solid Color Woodproofing Stain and Sealer for $42 at the Home Depot. How about top-rated gas self-propelled mower? The Honda HR217-6H. I used to own one similar to that. $870. We know this mower is pricey, but it's arguably worth it. Mulching and bagging are rated. Excellent reliability is second to none, and the rear-wheel drive helps manage uneven terrain. Best budget gas grill. Even Embers Gas 8506, mid-size gas grill at $395. A terrific grill that outperforms models costing five times as much. The Even Embers heats quickly and evenly to a broad range of temperatures, making it adept at everything from burgers to brisket. And it also looks very stylish. It's stainless steel on the outside, got a whole bunch of volume knobs on it, two side shelves, and a cover with a thermostat and an area below that I guess that's where you put your tank or store other stuff. The best charcoal grill is the Dynaglow DGN DNC. And one of the people says, Paul Hope from the Multimedia Contact, is he owns this, the Big Green Egg, at $1,030. I got my Big Green Egg when it was the only Kamado grill on the market, and its performance is still solid. But newer models like CR's top rater, Kamado Joe Classic, offer a better convenience features and easier cleaning and higher overall scores than the Egg. And the new non-ceramic bottles like the Broil King at $850 are lower priced. Season with care. The trouble with spices. CR tested for heavy metals and 14 herbs and spices from basil and black pepper to saffron and turmeric. And there's a picture of a whole bunch of spice bottles from all different kinds of manufacturers. Almost a third of the 126 products CR tested had levels of arsenic, cadmium, and lead combined that were high enough to raise health concerns. This is kind of serious. Open a drawer cabinet in any kitchen in the U.S. and you're likely to find several jars of dried herbs and spices. Jessica Clark, a mother of two from Lincoln, Nebraska, says she uses them so often that she buys in bulk and mixes her own special blends. Erica Berger of Carmel, Indiana, says she became hooked on a 21-spice blend, so much that she uses it now uses it in all sorts of dishes. This is so flavorful, I use less salt in general, she says. And Joey Davis, who grew up in San Diego, where Mexican food is on every corner, and his Jamaican wife put habanero in everything, including cucumber salad, says in his home you can't imagine any dish without spices and herbs. For many of us, spices play a large part in our cooking and in our family's lives. A recipe may call for just a pinch or three of cumin, cayenne, and garlic powder. But what would grandmother's arroz o campolo be without them? And what about your secret Simon and Garfunkel fish rub? You know, the one with parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Can't help it, I like that song. Yes, those seasonings really can add spice to our lives, filling our kitchens with tempting aromas and creating memories of people and places linked with special meals. But along with the flavor and memories, herbs and spices could also add something less savory to a diet, potentially dangerous heavy metals. That's according to Consumer Reports' test of 15 types of dried herbs and spices used in a variety of cuisines. We looked at 126 individual products from national and private label brands such as Great Value, Walmart, La Flor, McCormick, Penzi, Spice Island, and Trader Joe's. Roughly one-third we tested products, 40 in total, had high enough levels of arsenic, lead, and cadmium combined, on average, to pose a health concern for children when regularly consumed in typical adult serving sizes. Most rates concern for adults, too. For two herbs, thyme and oregano, all the products we tested had levels that CR experts say are concerning. In 31 products, level of lead were so high that they exceed the maximum amount anyone should have in a day, according to CR's experts. Also troubling, there was no single predictor of which products contained higher levels of heavy metals. For example, brand name didn't matter, and neither did organic or packed-in USA claims. The good news, many products performed well in the test. In 7 of the 15 types of spices we tested, all the brands had heavy metals below our thresholds for concern, and in most others we found at least one brand that fit into our no-concern category. And none of the tested spices were contaminated with Salmonella bacteria, which can cause a foodborne illness. A single serving of any herb or spice CR tested is unlikely to cause harm, says James G. Rogers, Ph.D., Director of Food Safety and Testing at CR. Still, some products contain enough heavy metals, even in small amounts, used in cooking, to cause concerns when used regularly. When people think about heavy metals in their diet, if they do at all, it's probably the lead in their drinking water, arsenic in their children's fruit juices or cereals, Rogers says. But our tests show that dried herbs and spices can be a surprising and worrisome source for children and adults. Frequent exposure to even small amounts of lead, arsenic, cadmium, and other heavy metals is dangerous, in part because it's difficult for the human body to break them down or excrete them. Over time, exposure to those heavy metals can harm health In children, it can affect brain development, increasing the risk for behavioral problems and lower IQ. In adults, it contributes to central nervous system problems, reproductive problems, and hypertension, and can damage kidney and immune functions. Since the risks are serious, Rogers says, it pays to limit your intake of heavy metals as much as possible. Heavy metals can show up in food if the water or soil where the food grown contains them naturally, or is contaminated because of pesticides or industrial uses, says Tunde Ankele, a CR chemist who oversaw the testing. Heavy metals may also get into food, including spices, during manufacturing from processing equipment or packaging, for example. Laura Schumau, director of American Spice Trade Association, says it's almost impossible to rid spices of all heavy metals because of the unavoidable presence in the environments where they are grown. She also says the amount of heavy metals absorbed from the soil and the part of the plant where they can end up differs from plant to plant. The trade group offers spice companies guidance on how to limit contaminants so they can implement it with their suppliers. Schumau says that according to a recent risk analysis for the ASTA, spices make up less than 0.1% of diarrhea-related exposure in children ages 1 to 6. And even for adults, she says, the ASTA believes the risk is low in large part because spices are a very small component of the diet. But CR's data underscores a broader problem. People reach for the herbs and spices in their kitchens multiple times a day, Angele says, and for certain spices, just one serving, 3/4 teaspoon or more, per day, leaves little room for heavy metal exposure from other sources. For example, CR's previous testing found that some brands of fruit juice, baby food, and rice contain troubling amounts of heavy metals. And smaller amounts of certain spices could be a concern if they're combined with others in a recipe. For example, a dish that has just 1/4 teaspoon each of Great Value, Walmart, chili powder, Trader Joe's organic cumin, and La Fleur oregano per serving would contain enough arsenic, cadmium, and lead to pose a concern. Other researchers also suggest that Other researchers also suggest that spices contribute to heavy metal exposure. For instance, a 2018 study on morbidity and mortality found high lead levels in 22% of food samples, mostly spices and herbal remedies, taken from homes of children with lead poisoning in North Carolina. Is turmeric good for you? Almost half of the turmeric products in CR tested had concerning levels of heavy metals. Bright yellow turmeric is a staple in Asian, Caribbean, Indian, and Middle Eastern dishes, and for hundreds of years it has been prized for its health properties. Thanks to its healing reputation, in recent years, the number of products that contain this spice, from drinks to cereals to dietary supplements, has increased. With its rise in popularity, concerns about heavy metals. Of the 126 product CR tests, La Fleur turmeric stood out because it raised the highest concern from arsenic, cadmium, and lead combined. La Fleur did not return repeated requests for comments. Three other turmeric products CR tested fell into our some concern category. People taking turmeric for health reasons may use much greater amounts than people who use it for cooking, says James E. Rogers, Ph.D., Director of Food Safety and Testing at CR. And the more of any heavy metal you are exposed to from any source, the greater your risk. What does science say? People have long turned to turmeric to treat a variety of ills, especially pain from inflammation. And lab studies suggest that curcumin, thought to be turmeric's active ingredient, does act against inflammatory cells. But it is less clear whether that translates to benefits in people. In a 2019 study, curcumin was as effective as an anti-inflammatory pain reliever for knee osteoarthritis, but neither treatment offered much relief. And an earlier study of more than 600 people found no evidence that curcumin pills eased inflammation compared with a placebo. Is it safe to cook with? Occasional use of turmeric with heavy metal levels high enough to raise a concern is unlikely to pose much danger, but it's better to use a product from our test that had very low levels, Rogers says, especially if you're regularly cooking with turmeric or using it in large amounts for potential health benefits. What about supplements? Previous testing by CR found that supplements, including turmeric and curcumin products, are sometimes high in lead or bacteria. And unlike with drugs, the Food and Drug Administration does not verify that supplements came what their labels say they do. So careful shopping is a key. Look for a seal from ConsumerLab.com, NSF International UL, or U.S. Pharmacopoeia USP. Such seals doesn't guarantee that a product is safe or that it does what it's claimed to do, but it offers some assurance that you're getting exactly what's on the label. See our spice test results. Consumer Reports tested 126 herbs and spices from 38 brands for arsenic, cadmium, and lead. We tested two or three samples from different lots of each product. Our findings are a spot check of the market and cannot be used to draw to definitive conclusions about brands. The products are organized by alphabetical by type. With each group, the products are listed according to degree of concern. Regularly consuming 3/4 teaspoon or more of a daily product of one of the concerning categories could, over time, pose a health risk to children as a result of the combined levels of the three heavy metals. Unless noted, they could also pose a risk to adults. The more red boxes next to a product, the higher is concern. Simply organic basil is considered to be okay. 365 Whole Foods Market, Great Value, McCormick and Sausage Maker, Lighthouse and Morton Bassett have some concern of basil. Black pepper, Tone's, Grack Pepper, El Guapo, Badia, Casablanca, Trader Joe's, Kirkland Signature, Simply Organic are all good, as are Pennsy, Spice, Great Value, and McCormick. There are no bad chili powders except for Great Value chili powder, which unfortunately I have some in my pantry. Coriander, all of them are okay on that. There's no bad ones. Cumin, Blohner's Festal, Badia, Great Value, and Trader Joe's all have some areas of concern. Curry powder, there are no negatives. Garlic powder, there are no negatives. In ginger, Simple Organic Ginger is the only one that doesn't provide concern. Whole Foods, Great Value, Lafour, Tones, Brodia, Spice Island, Morton, and Bassett all have some concern. The only really savious one in oregano, though, is Lafleur ground oregano. The paprika, Morrison, Bassett, Simply Organic, Spice Island, and Whole Foods Market do. Great Value, which I just used some this weekend, Badia, Parkland have some concern. Saffron are all good. Sesame seed are all good. Roland is all good. Thyme, the only serious one is Happy Belly from Amazon. Turmeric, Kirkland Signature, Morton Bassett have concern, and Lafour is a serious danger. White pepper, there are no problems with those. And with that, we have just about run out of time. I will continue the article next week because there are quite a few more things to be said about this. And how about a quick little close out here from how many Galileos are in a Darwin again? Winning a Nobel Prize may be science's ultimate claim to fame, but many giants of the discipline are immortalized in another way, having units of measurement named in their honor. There's the Einstein, used to measure energy and named for Albert, the Newton for force, named for Isaac, the Watt for power, named for James. This form of tribute doesn't always last forever, though. The standard measurement for radioactivity used to be the Curie for Marie and Pierre, but it was changed in the 1970s to the Becquerel, named for Antoine-Henri Becquerel, who shared the 1903 Nobel Prize in Physics with the Curies. And with that factoid under our belt, we have run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreading.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.